Okay, good morning, everyone. I would really covet your prayers this week as I prepare for the funeral, and that is going to be held at Beth Haven on Saturday. Patterson's funeral home is handling all of the arrangements of sorts. But just pray because there's a host of family that is religious, but they are lost. And just to be able to give a very clear presentation of the gospel that would just cut through all of the religious pharisaical murkiness, and that people would come to know Jesus as Savior. That's what Aunt Cindy would have wanted. She was constantly speaking of the Lord. She was constantly sharing with others what she was learning in her own devotion time or what she was studying. She was a studier. She committed a lot of scripture to memory. And so we were there last night after we left Cracker Barrel, 8 o'clock-ish or something around there, and then she passed away a little after 10 last night. So there is a lot of tired family members there. They really have just been up around the clock trying to keep her comfortable. And you know how it is. There's always that, what's it called? The adrenaline that will kick in to help them. And then there will be that letdown mm-hmm. of adrenaline. And so for each one, that's going to be a different time frame. So if you can just remember the Mike Klaus family in a special way, the daughter Laura and son Tom. And then her sister Amy, Aunt Cindy's sister Amy, has been there just an extreme amount of time. Amy also is saved. So I don't know. There's a lot of details and a lot of, you know, burden on our hearts to reach out to the family. So just be in prayer, if you will, through this week, that God would just bring the passages, the illustrations, just bring it all together so that it would be glorifying to Him and draw people to Him. So I'd really appreciate that. And Manuel has sent me some pictures of some of the devastation. It didn't really look a lot different than Cedar Springs and a few other areas back a few weeks ago with that storm. A lot of trees down, lost power. Cell towers were impacted. He didn't really give any information as far as deaths or buildings knocked down or anything of that nature. I'm sure there is at some point, at some level, there was some more destruction. But at the same token, just rejoicing that God kept them safe and that they were able to participate with the community in cleanup. And that just opens doors for witnessing as well. So just continue to remember them in prayer. If you could continue to remember Pastor Pepe and Aguascalientes and the familia Solchi, the daughter Solchi was the one that passed away a couple weeks ago after having had a cesarean and left behind the infant and two other children. The infant is doing fine, but there's just all of the accommodating adaptions that have to take place in that kind of a circumstance. So if you could remember Solchi, that's the mother of the daughter who passed away, whose name was also Solchi. Okay. Are there any other requests? Maybe that didn't get mentioned before and now you've thought of it. Any other requests? Okay, Philippians 1. Let's find Philippians 1 and then we'll pray. Philippians chapter 1. And we're on a journey of joy here. In Philippians chapter 1, now we really have to kind of flip the pancake, if you will. Back a couple weeks ago, Charity was into flipping pancakes, and she wanted me to take a little video of her. And she's getting pretty good at throwing it up in the air and catching it with the pan. Well, we kind of have to do that. We've been talking about some somber things. Although Aunt Cindy is in glory, she is made whole, and we're thankful for that. But looking at this topic of joy, it says here in Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. It was a privilege to bring up the needs or the names or the circumstances or the church to the Lord. It brought Paul joy. And so we're just looking on about how that journey of joy takes place. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to celebrate Pastor's birthday, the anniversary of the church, and just the amount of time that you have allowed us to know you as Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the preservation of your word. And Lord, there are many needs. Lord, there's many burdens, there's many requests on our hearts. And we just ask, dear Lord, that you would have your perfect will as it is in heaven on earth. Lord, that you would just give the doctors express wisdom in dealing with Brother Matichera's eyes. And Lord, I think of the needs of the Klauses at this time for comfort, many for salvation. Lord, for the needs around the world as a result of the hurricane, as a result of COVID, just as a result of sin, Lord. Our nation is in great need of you. From the president on down, dear God, we're asking that you take the scales from their eyes that they could see. Lord, I just think of the Christians in so many persecuted places, being oppressed. Lord, I ask that you give them deliverance and strength, boldness and love. Lord, that they would be astute. Lord, I pray for Israel. God, that you would take the scales from their eyes, that they could know the peace that passeth all understanding, looking to you as the one true Messiah. Lord, there's just so many different things, and we just thank you, God, that you've given us not only the open door, but the command to come before the throne of grace to find help and comfort and strength. And Lord, this morning, as we open your word again, God, we're just asking that you'd speak to our hearts from this passage. Lord, that we could grasp this journey of joy and all that takes place, and to truly appreciate the joy and not to take it for granted. Lord, the sacrifices are great. Lord, we just thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at this phrase, making requests with joy, and that joy is a beautiful thing, and the meaning is emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, a state of happiness or felicity, a source or cause for delight. And we began to look at last week that joy is the result of a blessing, and we looked at how God blessed Abraham. It was the promise of the blessing, and as a result of that promise of the future blessing, there were many decisions that Abraham made because of that blessing. Positive decisions in moments of difficulty. And we looked at real quickly how that it would have been difficult to make that decision to leave your homeland, the culture change, just dealing with what do I take, what do I leave, who comes with us, who stays behind, how far are we going, what's the distance, where are we headed? Just the questions that would have been raised possibly by Sarah or some of the servants, and trying to get the cattle and or the sheep to make it to certain destinations of food and water. But all along the way, it was the blessing as a result of God's promise of his blessing in his life that was going to allow him to go forward. It provoked joy. That blessing, that future promise of blessing, provoked joy. We looked at it would be a trial. It would be a trial for the servants of your nephew to be fighting with your servants. There was pride on both sides. We looked at, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. So there's pride on both sides. You know, this pushing and shoving, kind of like basketball. This is my space, move it. You know, no, I want to be here, and I was here first. And just think of all the cattle needing to eat, needing water, maybe needing shade. I don't know all the ramifications of taking care of a flock of sheep or cattle. But those things took place. But it was that future blessing, the joy that future blessing was already bringing to Abraham, says, go ahead, you pick first. And we saw that in his obedience, God blessed him even more, because he said north, west, east, south was all going to be given to him, which meant the place that Lot had chosen right now was going to be Abraham's sooner or later. And so that future promise of blessing that brought joy allowed Abraham just to walk in obedience to the Lord, which provoked or caused more blessing. And so that's That's where we looked at last night. We ended in Proverbs chapter 10. Let's just go there real quick. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." You know, when God promised to Abraham that one day all of this property was going to be his, he didn't have to feel bad. Oh, but think of all the people that have less than me. Oh, think of all the people that would just die for this opportunity. He didn't have to worry about any of that because it was the Lord's land. It is his land. And he promised to give it to Abraham. And Abraham didn't have to worry about anybody else's feelings. We, you know, that's a big problem today, is worrying about everybody's feelings. Well, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And so joy is a result of blessings. But blessings are always a result of victory. And that's point number two. Blessings are always the result of a victory. If you will, please go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Victories may be many things for us. We all have a little bit different mold that we were made into, but we're all supposed to be being fashioned into the image of Christ. I remember being in Mexico. I don't know if it was back in 95 or when we were in Aguascalientes. I can't remember which, but there was a man from the backside of his head that you would have thought was Dave Olsen in Mexican skin. And so that was just a little ironic. I wonder how many people are walking around the world that kind of look like me, but just have a little different color of skin. You know, and just get your scientific side of your brain. You know, how many options are there to the human race into shape, size? And I was sharing with the guys last night about this young girl who's 17 who has one leg is 52 7/8 inches long, and the other one is 53 1/4 inches long, her leg. Her total height is 6'10", so she's 12 inches taller than me, but her leg is 22 inches longer than mine. That is a huge, and yet we're talking about bodies that are fearfully and wonderfully made. While we were there with Aunt Cindy last night, and how that God gave her a very strong will to survive, to overcome, and you could just tell through this process that she was still fighting. She, in her mind, in her heart, felt like her family still had to have her for them to survive, for them to continue on. And it just is a constant reminder of the bodies. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so as we just consider victories, everyone's victory might be just a little bit different, just like our bodies are a little bit different. But it says here in 1 Samuel 30, let's read 20 through 24 to start with in 1 Samuel 30, making sure I got the right spot here, 20 through 24. It says, "And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, This is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, or Belial, however your Bible looks like it pronounces it there, and those that went with David, and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." And there's some valuable, I'm sorry, I am sweating up here, this humidity of the baptistry and all the work, it's got to go for now. There's a lot of lessons that can be learned here. realizing that every good gift cometh from above, from the Father of light, whom is no variableness. He doesn't change. And you've seen it, I've seen it, we've probably participated in it, maybe on both sides of it, but the notion that we have to suffer and work for something, as we'll later on see, that joy has a lot to do with suffering, sacrifices. But as a result of all of the stuff that I've had to go through, I'm not just going to give it away to someone else. They need to suffer a little or wait a little or pay a little, or I don't know what the little might be, but they don't want to make it easy for someone else. And as I've been growing up and I continue to mature and I continue to hear people, I'm very thankful to those that have taught me in things of work, construction, or dealing with cars. Now that I have John sending me little videos, Dad, what's this sound mean? You know, and what's going on? It's making this funny situation happen. Or Matthew will call with certain questions. And I'm just thankful that I can not only give the information that has been given or invested into me to them, but also to anyone else that comes along my path. Freely have received, freely give. That's salvation, right? We've received it. But then the lesson goes way beyond that. We're seeing that illustrated with David. Yeah, those men were not capable physically of continuing on, and yet there was still a responsibility to make sure someone didn't come along and take that stuff. That whether it be animals or an enemy that maybe was circling around or who knows, but these men still had a certain responsibility, and David saw that, but he also saw God's blessing. God's blessing in what? That they were kept safe. That the enemy was not able to overcome them. And in that blessing, there was this victory. And this victory caused David to be reminded of his goodness and that he needed to be good even when he didn't deserve it. Because you just consider for a moment where David was. He was not in the promised land. And he was not living an honest life. He was just being this covert, hidden individual, sometimes drooling and having spittle run down the side of his face. I got this hair on my face only because I got a bad cold sore here, and it's grown, the scab has grown into the hair, and I didn't want to take the time to be careful this morning, and so that's why I look a little weird. And I've already been told, no, you don't need that. So I know I don't need that. It itches. But just to consider the whole idea of camouflaging your person to exist. But when David prayed about whether to go or not, God answered. He not only answered him in giving assurance to go, but God gave him the victory to bring the stuff, not just the women and the children, but all of the stuff, the spoil. We see the word spoil there in verse 20. God gave it to him. And so there is this excess, if you will. People that suffer loss do not have excess or excess. When people lose a battle, many times I try to put myself into someone else's shoes. What it would be like. And you think of somebody who had just lost a battle, constantly having to look over your shoulder to see if they're still following you, if they want to just completely annihilate your race, being able to reach your home, whether it's still a structure or not, whether your family's there still or not. But then there was no extra to bring home. There was no good news. It was all bad news. It was all sad news. And now you're trying to make up for all of the things that were lost, whether it was your sword, your animals, your health, time. You're trying to make up for all of this loss. It's quite the other one when someone has a victory. The excess that's there, the spoil to be able to share. And David shared with these men. God had shared with him something that he truly did not deserve, victory. As a result, though, of David's joy and the victory that God had given to him, he was able to share with a clear conscience. No greed, no covetousness, no selfishness. And he sets it straight for these men. And remember these men that came to find David, they weren't the cream of the crop. They might have been the strongest, but they were not people with contented and calm and spiritual hearts. These were people with issues. It seems like everywhere I go, the people that come knocking on the door have issues. And it's just constantly learning, well, I don't know what to tell them. I don't know how to help them. And so you have to learn and you have to die. Just think of how much David had to go to the Lord and say, God, I don't know how to deal with these people. But God would give and he would share. God would give again and he would share again. It was probably music that helped David so often get over those moments of feeling completely overwhelmed, being able to sing. I know for a fact in my life when there are moments I feel overwhelmed and I can either listen or whistle or sing, there's just a relief that comes. And this morning when I opened up I didn't open my eyes. My brain woke up. The very first thing I thought about was make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Another one, come before his presence with singing. Have you ever sang before you prayed? I'm just talking about in your own devotion. Come before his presence with singing. So those are the things I thought about as soon as I woke up this morning without even opening my eyes. And I just think that David had many moments in his life. I mean, he was a developer of instruments. The Bible talks about him making instruments, playing the music that Asaph wrote and was part of his kingdom, how that would have encouraged him and motivated him and kept him going, because those psalms and those hymns, those spiritual songs, help us to be in harmony with the Holy Spirit as he imparts to us the mind of Christ. And so there was this illustration here of David received a blessing and he was able to share it, but it was as a result of a victory. God gave a victory. In Judges 5, this idea of sharing spoil was not uncommon. In Judges chapter 5, even amongst the heathen, in Judges 5:30, in Judges 5:30, it says, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a prey of diverse colors, a prey of diverse colors of needlework, of diverse colors of needlework on both sides. Meat for the necks of them that take the spoil. Of course, Sisera was killed, right, by Jael. And there was this battle that ensued. But this man who was very ungodly, even his mother there, as they're talking about that, it says in verse 28, the mother of Sisera, she's thinking about the process. If you win, this is what happens. They divide the spoil because there was a victory. And think of then that division not only took place on the battlefield, but once it got home, the sharing continued, probably amongst the children, the wife, as she would receive maybe a garment that was taken, maybe servants, as we know that in some of those battles, they brought home with the slaves, if you will, or the children or the ladies captive, and then they would become servants to the others. And so that sharing, if you will, even on the heathen side, was part of victory. And so I just want us to consider the blessings that we have are a result of somebody's victory. Ultimately, we are talking about the victory in Christ. That is the greatest victory, and as a result, has opened the gates of heaven for us. But it's certainly illustrated also by our Lord. Let's jump to Psalm 68, please. Psalm 68. Psalm 68:18. And consider as the result of his victory what he has now. It says, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. Who paid the price? Christ did. He paid the entire price. When we had a Father's Day in Mexico, and so I went to one of the local stores and bought a little pen and calculator set. And I went there and purchased them all and tried to illustrate on Sunday that these were free gifts, that I didn't go to the store and pay half of the price. offering it to them if they were willing to go and pay the other half that was left on the bill. I said, no, this is a free gift for you that I went and paid for so that you could enjoy it. And Christ paid that entire sin debt that we could enjoy it. But it says, thou hast received gifts for men. So in his victory, there was a great blessing which created joy because he was able to give. If Christ never would have had the victory, there would be no gifts to give. Just consider Romans 6:23. Probably could almost quote this verse backwards. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the victory. So blessings are always a result of victory. And do we recognize the victory comes from God so I can freely share this blessing? Ultimately, the joy that comes with that blessing. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The path of gifts is very unique through Scripture. It would be an amazing study as you consider the various gifts in Scripture. But Christ receives a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's that gift there illustrated as a result of the victory of the cross. But like I said, our victories may be very diverse, may be very different. I have just considered the times when I have gone up to Hilltop Sports or maybe Magnum Sports, Cabela's, a couple of times to the Silver Bullet. And I will tell you, there is a great difference in attitude in those places. And I've been to Silver Bullet. Those people are super friendly, at least while I was there. I've been to Hilltop when they are super arrogant. And it's like, I'll never come back here again. And you see the various things. So what takes place? So one understands and realizes how to sight in a bow, a gun, slingshot, not throw knives, whatever. They understand the concept behind that. For some, it fills them up with pride, and they don't want to share their secrets with anyone. For other ones, it's a joy. Oh, here, let me show you. Let me give you some tips. Let me give you some advice. And you can see the difference as a result of them having received some information, some illumination, some education, and in their process of sharing that. Maybe it's a lady with a recipe. Maybe you've been struggling with a recipe, and finally the right ingredients with the right proportions came together, and it just turned out perfectly. Then what do you do with that information? Do you freely give it? Or are you like, no, this is mine. This is a family secret. This is a family recipe. Nobody gets this but my granddaughter someday. You know, that kind of a thing. How are we sharing the blessings that God is really giving to us? Giving, I say, because it's not ending. His blessings are continual. We looked at a few weeks ago, the mercies of the Lord are new every single day. I was considering Paul and the victory that God gave to him before he was even set free in the jail there in Acts 16. What took place? They were beaten for the faith. They were in jail. They start singing and praising God. God gives them a victory because the earth shakes. All these prison gates are open. Fear is on everyone. What is happening? What is taking place? That was a victory because that gave Paul a platform with which to continue preaching truth. And the jailer, being stopped by Paul's message, comes and is begging, what must I do to be saved? So as a result of the victory of Paul's faith in the Lord, God doesn't just give him one blessing. The jailer gets saved. The jailer washes their wounds. Another blessing. Another blessing, the family gets saved. Another blessing, they get baptized. Another blessing. Because of all of this, God enables Paul to be very bold the next day. That boldness then produces freedom, liberty, as a result of God's victory in opening the gates. And if we could just maybe encourage ourselves and challenge ourselves with the blessings are going to come as a result of victories, and those victories can be very large or they can be very small, but don't take them for granted, because they're all coming from our Almighty God. And He knows the right time and the right place for which we can handle those victories and those blessings. Remember we talked about last week, the trial of our faith worketh patience. But He said to count it all joy. And so we're just talking about victory, and next week we're going to talk about that victory as a result of conflicts and sacrifices, which we've kind of hit on a little bit this morning. We're going deeper in it next week. But I just want to challenge you. Joy is amazing to have. It's amazing to share. But if we do not grasp the journey of joy, we will take it for granted so quickly. And we will set it aside. And we will forget about it. Just like Peter. The Lord was hung on the cross, put in the tomb. Peter's attitude was, I go a-fishing. He forgot about the journey of joy that would keep him focused, like it kept Abraham focused, to reach the land, the city that was not shaped and formed by hands. That was where his focus was. But Peter forgot about that journey of joy and went back to fishing. Just overcome with discouragement, overwhelmed with the circumstances that he was not expecting. If one thing is certain in my life, so many times when I anticipated something, it did not happen. And I will just say that many times we would be leaving our house there on Van Dyne's and heading out, and there would be no communication between mom and dad and us kids of exactly where we're going. And I'd sit in the back of the seat and I'd say, oh, I hope we're going to Pyatt's. Oh, I hope we're going to Pyatt's. And we wouldn't go to Pyatt's. And I remember this flip in my brain, and I would say, we're not going to Pyatt's. We're not going to Pyatt's. We're not going to Pyatt's. And then we'd go to Pyatt's. So as a kid, in my mind, I was thinking, the things that I'm really anticipating, I need to want the opposite so that maybe that will come true. Reverse psychology. Well, see, there's so often in our flesh, we think this is the right way and the right time and the manner, the place, whatever. And we have all this expectation that doesn't mean it's God's will. It's kind of like, I didn't watch the debate, but Vice President Pence saying something, she was entitled to her own thoughts or her own opinions, but not to facts. And I read that and I was like, that is so true. We can want a lot of things, but is it the fact? Is it the reality that God wants to manifest in our lives? We can still have joy, even if our expectations are not met, because He's given us a blessing that we have the opportunity to share with others who equally don't deserve it, but it's a blessing. And I want to challenge you with that thought this morning and see how God will allow you to incorporate sharing blessings with others this week. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for the day, and just thank you for your patience with us, Lord. And we just ask you, bless the rest of this service. I pray you just give Brother Matt and Sherry the words to say. Lord, just work in the hymns, that you would just prepare our hearts. And Lord, we just rejoice in so many blessings as we think of the process in which you gave birth to this church, and just the preparations of hearts. And Lord, we just thank you, and we rejoice for all those who have gone before us. Lord, I pray you bless this day now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.